we spot clean those of your genes that may have been born dirty. Complete laundry list 2, found on the enhancement, entitled, Which Genes Need More Cleaning? You fill out a second laundry list to identify which genes are still dirty, perhaps because they were born that way, perhaps because they just need additional support. Follow the program. Now we make it personal. Based on your own laundry lists, you continue the Clean Genes protocol for diet and lifestyle with specific adjustments for spot cleaning any genes that are still dirty. Step 3. Keep clean for life. Throughout your life, you make sure that your genes stay clean and give any dirty ones the extra attention they need. Complete laundry list 2. Which genes need more cleaning? Bring out that second laundry list every 3 to 6 months to target any dirty genes that are messing with you. Follow the program. Stick to the healthy diet and lifestyle you learned in your 4-week program, bringing in your special spot cleaning techniques as you need them. The Clean Genes Protocol. How you can clean your genes. Following is your Clean Genes Protocol, a lifelong program to keep your genes clean as you optimize your health. Although you may periodically add in spot cleaning from the second step of the program, this is the approach to diet and lifestyle that will best support your genes for the rest of your life. In this chapter, the Clean Genes Protocol is outlined in broad brushstrokes as an introduction. Fear not, though. In later chapters, we'll address all the components, diet, exercise, and so on, in greater detail. Diet. Eat appropriate amounts of protein and healthy fat. Make sure to get all the nutrients that your genes need to work properly, such as B vitamins, vitamin C, copper, and zinc. Cut out cow's milk dairy, gluten, excess carbs, and white sugar. Avoid foods high in pesticides, herbicides, preservatives, and/or artificial ingredients. Avoid fermented foods, leftovers, or food that's likely to contain excess bacteria if you find they trigger symptoms. Avoid foods that are high in histamines, wine, some types of cheese, and smoked and/or preserved meat and fish if you're particularly susceptible. Eat in moderation. Stop eating when you're 80% full. Avoid snacks and late-night meals. Exercise. Get the right amount of exercise for your body, not too much and not too little. Exercise when you're rested and only until you're pleasantly tired. Don't exhaust yourself and don't force it. Exercise when it doesn't negatively impact your sleep. Don't skimp on sleep to exercise. Don't exercise later in the evening if it keeps you from falling asleep. Sleep. Make trying for deep, restful sleep a priority. Consistently match your sleep schedule to nature's circadian rhythms, asleep by 10:30 p.m., awake 7 to 8 hours later. Avoid electronic screens in the hour before bed. Block out or turn off artificial lights. Natural moonlight is great. Environmental toxins. Eat organic food, or at least avoid the dirtiest conventional foods. Filter the water you use for drinking, cooking, and bathing. Avoid the use of household and garden chemicals. Avoid all plastic containers for your food and water, especially BPA plastic and especially in the microwave. Ideally, store and cook foods only in glass or stainless steel. Follow guidelines to keep indoor air clean, bearing in mind that indoor air is often more toxic than the air outdoors. Stress. Attend to sources of physical stress, long-term illness, chronic infections, food intolerances, allergies, insufficient sleep. Reduce and relieve psychological stress, issues at work, at home, with your loved ones, with life. If you've had genetic testing, What if you've had genetic testing already and want to head straight to fixing your problem genes? Trust me, don't. If you're eating right, getting terrific sleep, avoiding toxins, and keeping stress at bay, your born dirty genes, your SNPs, might not be giving you any trouble. How awesome is that? And if you're not practicing an optimal diet and lifestyle, many of your genes are going to act as though they had SNPs, even if they weren't actually born with them. What? Yes. Being born without a particular SNP doesn't mean you're in the clear. That's why your Clean Genes Protocol starts with the basics. A total soak and scrub for all your genes. Only then does it make sense to target any remaining problems as you maintain the diet and lifestyle that you learn during the soak and scrub. This Clean Genes Protocol has helped thousands of people worldwide. I want it to work for you too. You'll get the best results if you follow the protocol, no matter what genetic testing you may have had. If your genetic testing reveals a serious medical condition, for example, cystic fibrosis, PKU, or the like, work with a physician to treat that condition and prevent or delay the worsening of symptoms. Genetic testing, the pros and cons. Many of my clients have sent away for a genetic test from such companies as 23andMe and Genos Research. Sometimes the information is helpful, but often the results can be confusing. Take large quantities of vitamin X to support gene A. Avoid vitamin X completely to support gene B, and consume moderate quantities of vitamin X to support gene C. How do you follow a recommendation like that? Unfortunately, most doctors aren't much help either. That's a big part of why I created this book, so you could clean up your genes without necessarily getting them tested. If you have a competent professional who can help you sort through the information, by all means take the test. And if the Clean Genes Protocol doesn't give you the results you'd like, you might need to find a professional who can help you take things a step further. In most cases, though, genetic testing isn't necessary. Just remain on the Clean Genes Protocol and watch your health improve. Once you see how cleaning up your genes helps you eliminate fatigue, insomnia, irritability, ADHD, anxiety, depression, weight gain, and many other symptoms, you'll be ready to celebrate. Why do we even have SNPs? From one point of view, SNPs are a real pain. Who would choose to have a gene that feeds your anxiety, encourages you to be obsessive, keeps you from falling asleep, or makes you super sensitive to toxins? Given a free choice, why wouldn't you always go for 100% clean genes? But as we have seen, dirty genes bring strengths as well as weaknesses. SNPs in the MTHFR gene, for example, can make you incredibly focused and determined to solve problems. COMT SNPs can give you tons of energy and buoyancy, enabling you to face life with an enthusiasm that many less energetic people might envy. GST-GPX and DAO SNPs alert you early on to the disastrous effects that certain chemicals and foods have on your body, leading you to make healthier long-term choices. Every dirty gene has its upside as well as its downside. Scientists suspect that SNPs have an upside not just for individuals, but for the community. Imagine a small band of early humans trying to survive in the forest or on the tundra. Wouldn't it be useful to have one person who reacted especially intensely to potentially toxic foods, warning the rest of the group to stay away from those foods? Wouldn't you want one sort of obsessive guy who could never let anything go, so that group didn't give up on solving problems? Or one woman who was extra alert to the sounds of danger, just as everyone else was falling asleep? Scientists also suspect that SNPs evolved because we humans live in so many different environments. Humans migrated all over the world, and in subtle but very important ways, our bodies learned to adapt. SNPs may be part of that story. Today, of course, you can obtain almost any type of food, no matter where you live, And if you need some extra support, you can supplement from the vitamin store. You don't have to be limited by your ancestors' environment. But you do need to understand how to respond to the SNPs you were born with. Fortunately, with the right information, you can support all your dirty genes, whatever they happen to be. Success stories. When your genes get clean. I encouraged Carrie, Jamal, and Taylor to engage in the same 4-week plan that you'll follow. A comprehensive program of diet, lifestyle, and prevention that can help you scrub your genes clean. All of them saw benefits, but at different speeds and in different ways. For example, Carrie responded very well to the soak and scrub phase of the protocol, but she was still bothered by a runny nose, scaly skin, and limp, lackluster hair. Clearly, her dirty GST-GPX gene needed more support. So, we provided it. I advised her to take liposomal glutathione, an over-the-counter supplement, on a graduated dosage. She started with a tiny bit and moved up slowly in response to her symptoms. This supplemented her body's own inadequate production of glutathione, a key antioxidant. Although Carrie had put filters on all her water taps, she had avoided buying an air purifier due to cost. Her continued symptoms made her realize that she was probably struggling with the dirty air in her home. Fumes from furniture, carpets, cooking, her gas stove, her mattress, and other home products. To help offset some of these exposures, I advised her to use the vent hood while cooking and use high smoke point oils. Dirty water and dirty air tend to be our two biggest exposures to problem chemicals, putting a huge burden on our GST-GPX genes. Carrie began to take twice-weekly saunas so that she could sweat it out. I love saunas. Besides the fabulous stress relief, they're terrific for helping your body get rid of harmful chemicals. After just 2 weeks of spot cleaning, Carrie's hair, skin, and energy levels showed huge improvement. In a few weeks more, her nasal passages had cleared up too, and she began to glow with health. Working with her genes instead of against them had made all the difference. Jamal also benefited from the soak and scrub phase of the protocol, but he too needed some spot cleaning. He took liposomal glutathione, as Carrie did, as well as a supplement called PQQ, more formally known as pyroloquinoline quinone. I also advised him to increase his intake of arginine, a nutrient needed to support the NOS3 enzyme that the NOS3 gene produces. So Jamal began loading up his diet with arginine-rich foods: arugula, bacon, beets, bok choy, celery, Chinese cabbage, cucumber, fennel, leeks, mustard greens, parsley, and watercress. He began to lose weight. He felt better. And perhaps most important, he was finally able to stop thinking that his genes had handed him a death sentence. Now that I know what to do, I feel like I can work with my genes instead of worrying about what they're doing to me, he told me. But I still need to help my father. I only wish I could have given my uncle and grandfather this information. Taylor's depression and mood swings proved a bit more stubborn. Although she felt somewhat better after her 2 weeks of soak and scrub, she still felt flat and blah. Taylor's MTHFR SNP could be supported by eating lots of leafy greens, salads, kale, collards, chard. But I knew that her depression would make it hard for her to get motivated. I didn't want to give her a task, like making salads or cooking greens, that would feel like one more burden. So instead, I started her on a twice-weekly supplement of methylfolate, one of the active forms of folate vitamin B9, and a nutrient essential to the methylation process on which good health depends. I knew that once she felt better, she would have the energy to change her diet, and then we would likely decrease or even eliminate the supplement. I also had her take curcumin and PQQ, both of which would support her MTHFR gene and promote healthy methylation. In addition, I urged Taylor to avoid packaged and processed foods, or at least to check the label for folic acid. Sometimes it seems as if folic acid is everywhere. It's a very common additive. Unfortunately, it blocks the pathways that methylfolate would normally use. With those pathways blocked, your body can't use methylfolate even if you're getting lots of it in your diet and supplements. Sure enough, after a few days of taking methylfolate and avoiding folic acid, Taylor felt better. Her depression lifted quickly. Over the next several weeks, she began making more salads and eating more greens, so we were able to adjust her dose of methylfolate down to once a week. As she continues to improve, we might be able to cut out supplements altogether. "Wow," Taylor told me on her most recent visit. "What a difference! I feel like a whole new person." I could see it for myself. Taylor looked lively, enthusiastic, at peace with herself. By giving her genes what they needed, she had created a whole new life. Reaching your genetic potential. What Taylor, Jamal, and Carrie achieved is what I want for you, too. Using the Clean Genes Protocol to reach your genetic potential. I've seen this protocol work for scores of clients, and I've taught many physicians and healthcare providers how to use it with their patients. It's the fastest, most efficient way to give your health a boost, and it's also a lifelong protocol that will keep your genes clean while optimizing your health. I'm thrilled to share it with you. This field is expanding fast. I spend a lot of time keeping up with the latest research, but man, I absolutely love it. When a mother who has struggled with recurrent miscarriages comes up to me at a conference to show me her beautiful baby, or when a man writes me that for the first time in his life he feels free of depression and anxiety, I'm reminded all over again of how crucial it is to clean up our genes. So let's get started. The next step is for you to learn some of the ABCs of genetic science. Nothing heavy. Just some empowering knowledge that will help you on your way. 2. Gene secrets, what they didn't teach you in science class. When Jesse and I began our session, she was brisk and impatient. "My doctor tested me and found SNPs in my MTHFR gene," she told me. "What should I take?" "Hold on," I answered her. "You don't have just one gene or one SNP. You have thousands of genes and possibly thousands of SNPs. And they're all talking to one another. We can't just zero in on one SNP. We have to look at the big picture." Jesse looked confused. "I thought if I had a SNP, I was supposed to find the right supplement for it," she said. I shook my head. "SNPs are important, and taking certain supplements to address certain SNPs might help. But one single SNP is rarely the only reason you're having health problems. So just taking a supplement isn't going to be enough. This approach is not a pill for an ill. As I said, we have to look at things holistically." Your Dynamic Genes, Part 2. In the introduction, I explained that every moment of every day, your genes are giving instructions to your body. As you read these words, your genes are telling your metabolism to run fast or slow, which helps determine your energy level and your weight. They're giving instructions to your brain to regulate mood and mental focus, helping to determine whether you feel anxious or calm, depressed or optimistic, focused or scattered. Because your genes are always talking to your brain and body, you can't focus on only one small part of the conversation. You have to look at the whole conversation. In this book, we're going to zero in on 7 key genes that affect your brain and body. However, many more genes also play a role in your health, and all of your genes work together in a dazzling array of interactions that happen so quickly and continuously, it's almost impossible to separate them. Okay, it is impossible to separate them. That's why any solution you come up with has to deal with the big picture. Picture the rush hour traffic in a busy city. inching along among a crowd of belching cars, you're frustrated because you can't get from one end of town to the other. But what's your solution? Suppose you form a citizen group and convince the city to block off one special avenue for crosstown traffic. Once drivers get onto that avenue, they've got an express lane all the way across town. Perfect. Well, no. While that sounded like a good idea before it was implemented, what about all the cars that ordinarily use that avenue for local errands? Now, with the new traffic pattern, they have to use other streets, and those other streets become even more crowded. You may have helped traffic on one street, only to create an even worse traffic jam everywhere else. For a solution to work, it has to address the whole problem, not just one piece of it, or you might make the overall problem worse. It's the same with your body. There, the big picture involves adopting a diet and lifestyle that clean up all your dirty genes and keep them clean. That big picture also needs to factor in haplotypes, combinations of dirty genes. As you'll see in Chapter 14, these combinations also play a powerful role in your health. But first things first, one of our primary goals in the Clean Genes Protocol is to support methylation, one of the most important processes your body undergoes. Methylation, your key to clean genes. Methylation controls your genetic expression. It determines whether a particular gene will be turned on or off. Every gene in every cell is ultimately regulated by methylation. Methylation involves adding a methyl group, one carbon atom plus three hydrogen atoms, to something such as a gene, enzyme, hormone, neurotransmitter, vitamin in your body. When this occurs, we say that the chemical compound has been methylated. What happens when this system fails? You have genes on when they're supposed to be off, and off when they're supposed to be on. A classic example is when methylation fails to turn off the genes that contribute to cancer. Not good. Remember the tale of two mice in the introduction? One mouse was overweight, bloated, and vulnerable to disease. The second was lean, energetic, and highly protected. As identical twins, the mice had the exact same genes. So what made the difference? Methylation. The healthy mouse was methylating properly. The unhealthy mouse wasn't. If you are struggling with symptoms or disorders, anything from acne, headaches, and PMS to heart disease, diabetes, or obesity, you are almost certainly not methylating efficiently, and your health is suffering for it. Love your liver. Some 85% of all methylation takes place in your liver, so you want to support your liver as much as you can. Drink alcohol in moderation, or if you have methylation issues, avoid it altogether. Avoid industrial chemicals and heavy metals in your air, food, and water. Avoid unnecessary medications and recreational drugs. Help your body detoxify with the Clean Genes Protocol. Methylation occurs countless times each second in every single cell of your body. So pause a moment as you read this and imagine all the methylation that's going on. Now consider the following processes. Just a few of the hundreds that depend upon methylation. Genetic expression. Methylation turns off many of the genes that can otherwise lead to chronic conditions, the scary kind that run in families. Depression, anxiety, heart disease, dementia, obesity, autoimmune conditions, and cancer all have a genetic component. With proper methylation, you greatly reduce your chances of developing these conditions, because methylation literally alters the instructions that your genes send out. For example, genes that might loudly shout depression or heart disease suddenly become muffled or even silent when they're properly methylated. Conversion of food into energy. If your body is good at converting food into energy, you eat less, maintain a healthy weight, and feel energized, If your body has trouble with this crucial process, you eat more, gain weight, and feel sluggish and exhausted. Many people struggle with the ups and downs of blood sugar. Their solution is to eat more often and to consume more carbohydrates. They soon become overweight and tired. Methylation to the rescue. By helping to create a key compound called carnitine, which enables your body to burn fat as fuel. Now your blood sugar is more stable, plus you're burning fat instead of storing it. Methylation also helps you burn fuel as efficiently as possible, with further benefits to your metabolism, your energy, and your weight. Cellular protection. Each of your cells is surrounded by a membrane, a wall that lets nutrients in while keeping harmful elements out. To produce a strong cell wall, you need, you guessed it, good methylation, which produces phosphatidylcholine, a key element in your cell walls. Do you take vitamins, supplements? Without proper methylation, they won't do you a bit of good. If your cell walls don't work right, the nutrients can't get into your cells, and they just end up in your very expensive urine. You also need phosphatidylcholine to regulate the rate of cell death and to make healthy new cells to replace the 2.5 million that die every second. Without enough new cells, you might develop pain, fatigue, inflammation, and fatty liver. Finally, you need phosphatidylcholine for your bile, a substance produced by your liver. Bile helps you absorb fat and regulates the bacteria in your small intestine. It flows from your liver into your gallbladder, so if your methylation is compromised, watch out for gallbladder problems. Methylating for two. During pregnancy, your body is methylating even more than usual to support the developing baby and its placenta. Nausea, vomiting, or gallbladder issues, all common during pregnancy, are frequently caused by poor methylation. And did you know that neural tube defects and congenital heart defects are not results of a folic acid deficiency, as we so often hear? They are results of a methylation deficiency. Most health professionals aren't aware of this either, but now you are. So if you're pregnant or planning to become pregnant, make sure that you and your partner are both getting all the nutrients you need to methylate properly. The Clean Genes Protocol gives you a great start in that regard. Brain and muscle health. Methylation also produces creatine, a compound that both your brain and your muscles use as fuel. If you've got muscular aches and pains, feel run down and fatigued, or can't kick your brain into gear, poor methylation and low creatine might be the reason. Production and balancing of neurotransmitters. Biochemicals such as serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, and melatonin are known as neurotransmitters. Literally, the chemicals that help transmit messages throughout your body via neurons. The right balance of neurotransmitters makes you feel sharp, clear-headed, focused, calm, optimistic, and enthusiastic. The wrong balance can make you feel foggy, confused, distracted, anxious, pessimistic, or simply blah. If you've ever struggled with anxiety, depression, brain fog, or ADHD, you know how important those brain chemicals are. And methylation is the key to great brain chemistry. Stress and relaxation responses. Your stress response is produced by your sympathetic nervous system, which helps you to rise to the occasion, put in some extra effort, focus longer, work harder, and do whatever it takes to get a job done. Physical danger evokes the stress response, hence that response's nickname of fight or flight. If your cave-dwelling ancestors saw a saber-toothed tiger, they had to either fight it or flee, and quickly. The need for demanding physical work likewise evokes the stress response, say, having to pull a fishing boat out of heavy surf or facing a long trek across the desert in search of a new home. Other types of physical stressors that can set off a stress response include not enough sleep, an ongoing illness or infection, missing a meal, and taking a medication that's hard on your body. Of course, emotional demands can also set off the stress response. A deadline at work, a crying child tugging at your sleeve, the prospect of dinner with a difficult friend or relative. Anything that creates a challenge for you, mentally, physically, or emotionally, triggers the stress response. In all of these cases, your sympathetic nervous system produces a cascade of stress hormones, including epinephrine, adrenaline, norepinephrine, noradrenaline, dopamine, and cortisol to help your body mobilize for extra effort. The stress response makes you feel alert, keyed up, ready for battle. Perhaps you're breathing more quickly, and you have tenser muscles and a swiftly beating heart. The stress response is ideally balanced by the relaxation response, produced by your parasympathetic nervous system. After any fight or flight, it's time to rest and digest. Your stress hormones subside, your tight muscles loosen up, your breathing becomes deeper, and your mental state shifts from on alert to relaxed and calm. When you methylate efficiently, you've got the biochemicals you need to engage both responses. You gear up to meet your challenges during the day, and then relax to enjoy a peaceful evening before falling into a delicious sleep. You gear up to grind out a busy week, and then relax to enjoy a stress-free weekend. You gear up to make it through the busy season, and then relax on a 2-week vacation. When your methylation isn't working well, you don't always have the biochemicals you need for both sets of responses. You might feel permanently stressed, on a hair-trigger temper, unable to wind down, or so burned out that you can't find that extra oomph you need. Sure, your psychological outlook and your life circumstances are key factors, but a huge piece of the stress mess results from poor methylation. Detoxification. Detoxification is your body's ability to eliminate chemicals that might be harmful, including industrial chemicals, heavy metals, and excess hormones. Your body needs a certain level of hormones, of course, but when those levels get too high, you can run into trouble. Estrogen, for example, is an important hormone for both men and women. But when your body can't clear estrogen from your system, women run into issues with PMS, menstruation, menopause, and ovarian cancer, while both men and women are at risk for breast cancer. To clear harmful chemicals and excess hormones, you need to methylate properly. Methylation also affects your ability to produce glutathione, your body's master antioxidant. It was lack of glutathione that caused Carrie's symptoms in Chapter 1, and support for methylation that helped her symptoms go away. Immune response. Your immune system is charged with attacking any invader that your body perceives as dangerous, including certain bacteria, viruses, and other pathogens, disease-causing microorganisms, as well as toxins, dangerous chemicals, and harmful foods. An underactive immune response makes you vulnerable to disease. An overactive immune response causes your immune system to attack not just hostile invaders, but your own tissue, eventually creating such autoimmune conditions as Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which attacks the thyroid, rheumatoid arthritis, attacks the joints, systemic lupus erythematosus, attacks the joints, skin, kidneys, blood cells, brain, heart, and lungs, multiple sclerosis, attacks the myelin sheath around your nerves, and many others. Methylation helps your immune system find its sweet spot, neither too passive nor too active, but just right. Cardiovascular function. Faulty methylation can lead to atherosclerosis, hardening of the arteries, and hypertension, both dangerous to cardiovascular health. Excessive and/or chronic inflammation which can be created by poor methylation, has also been implicated in cardiovascular disease. DNA repair. Your genetic instructions are embodied in your DNA, the deoxyribonucleic acid that is the biochemical code for life itself. Two strands of DNA wrapped together in a spiraling double helix containing the particular sequence of molecules that say who you are and that tells your cells what to do to keep you alive and well. Just as the couch in your family room is constantly undergoing wear and tear from being used so often, so is your DNA. Your body's own biochemical processes can damage your DNA, as can exposure to free radicals, unstable, highly reactive molecules, ultraviolet B rays, UVB, and certain biochemicals. You want your DNA in peak condition so that it can give optimal instructions to every one of your cells. And guess what? Methylation is crucial to DNA repair, and it helps prevent DNA errors when new cells are built. For more detailed information on methylation, check out the enhancement. How methylation goes wrong. I hope I've sold you on the importance of good methylation. So, what interferes with good methylation? No surprises here. Our culprits are pretty much the usual suspects. Poor diet. When you're not eating the foods your body needs, your body can't methylate properly. First, you need protein, B vitamins, and a variety of other nutrients that methylation uses to produce the cells of your body and your brain. However, the raw materials aren't enough. As you'll see in Chapter 5, methylation is a complex sequence of biochemical events. Each of these reactions includes cofactors, vitamins or minerals that your body needs to spark the reactions. Think of it this way. To get a bonfire going, you need some big logs, yes. But you also need kindling, tinder, paper, and a lot of matches. Otherwise, those big logs are just going to sit there. The basic nutrients are the logs, but the cofactors are all the other key ingredients that enable the fire to start. Folic acid. Okay, just about everybody gets this one wrong, but I want you to get it right. The natural form of B9 is called folate, and the active version of that natural form, that is, folate that's immediately usable by the body, is called methylfolate, a key compound for methylation. If you have any trouble methylating, you probably want to consume lots of folate, so that even if your methylation process isn't sufficient, you'll end up with all the methylfolate you need. You find folate in leafy green vegetables such as spinach, mustard greens, collard greens, turnip greens, and romaine lettuce. The artificial form of B9 is called folic acid. It's found in vitamin pills and as an additive in many packaged foods. Folic acid is unnatural. It's not useful for your body at all until it's processed into an active, usable form. However, because folic acid resembles folate, it gets into your folate receptors, where it blocks natural folate from getting where it needs to, inside your cell. As a result, if you're eating more foods containing folic acid than leafy green vegetables, the naturally occurring methylfolate struggles to get into your cells. And without enough methylfolate, your body can't methylate. In this way, folic acid blocks methylation. It's important to understand this for two reasons. First, many doctors and other health practitioners prescribe folic acid, especially to pregnant women. No. Stop. If you need to take a supplement beyond what you can find in your diet, take folate. If it says folic acid, put the package down. Second, many types of conventionally produced foods are enhanced with folic acid. In 1998, in what I consider an almost criminally ignorant move, the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, began requiring U.S. manufacturers to enrich the following foods in that way: bread, cereal, cornmeal, flour, pasta, rice, other grains. Now, if you're methylating well, and you're not eating huge amounts of the above foods previously mentioned, your body can compensate for a little bit of interruption by folic acid. But if you have dirty genes, either born dirty or acting dirty, you're probably not methylating well. And a big intake of folic acid is only going to make things worse. Folic acid is one of the worst methylation-blocking vitamins around. The wrong amount of exercise. We all know that exercise is good for us, right? One reason is because it supports methylation. In a fascinating study conducted at the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, scientists had young, healthy men and women bicycle at a moderate pace with only one leg, while the other leg remained idle. After 3 months, they analyzed the DNA in each leg. The researchers found that more than 5,000 sites on the muscle cell's genome showed new patterns of methylation, but only on the muscles of the leg that had exercised. Exercise is better for methylation than no exercise, but too much exercise isn't good either. Why not? Because when you overexercise, exercise either too long or too intensely, you stress your body too much. And as you'll see below, excess stress disrupts healthy methylation. Poor sleep. When you don't get a good night's sleep, you don't methylate properly. And when you don't methylate properly, you don't make melatonin, a natural biochemical that helps you fall asleep and stay asleep. It's a vicious cycle. Break it by getting some good sleep. Too much stress. When your body is under stress, it uses up methyl groups much faster than when it's relaxed. To make more methyl groups, you need more methyl donors, found in the right foods and vitamins, and more energy. If the stress goes on long enough, you're likely to run out of methyl donors, energy, or both. You're no longer methylating properly, and your health begins to suffer. Exposure to harmful chemicals. As Kerry found out in Chapter 1, chemical exposure can be overwhelming. If your body is staggering under a huge chemical burden, your genes are going to be frantically trying to compensate for the strain. Methylation will suffer as a result. And now, sad to say, you've got another vicious cycle. To find a list of other common barriers to methylation, check out the enhancement. Clean genes and good methylation. Jesse, the client I introduced you to at the beginning of this chapter, was fascinated to discover the way her different genes all work together. She now understands that methylation is the key to maintaining her genetic health, and thus her overall health, and that a variety of factors are needed to support methylation, including diet, exercise, sleep, protection from toxins, and stress relief. I convinced her, and I hope I've convinced you. Your Clean Genes protocol starts with a soak and scrub designed to clean up all your genes. Regardless of which genes you were born with, this overall soak and scrub is your best first step in supporting your health. How your Clean Genes protocol supports methylation. A diet rich in methyl donors and the vital nutrients that your genes need to complete methylation without the packaged foods that contain folic acid. The right type and amount of exercise. Deep, restful sleep. Avoidance of industrial chemicals and heavy metals. Support for detoxification. Stress reduction and stress relief. 3. What's your genetic profile? Harriet was a bundle of energy, had been since she was a kid. Once she got started on a project, she hated to stop. Now that she was in law school, you could often find her up till the wee hours of the morning, wanting to read, just one more case, or finish just one more page before she finally felt ready to close her books. Even after she had stopped studying, though, Harriet couldn't wind down. It might take her 2, 3, or even 4 hours from the time she stopped work to the time she fell asleep. "I can wind up, but I can't wind down," Harriet told me when we consulted about her sleep issues. "I've always been like that, but lately it's even worse. What's going on?" Eduardo was the nicest guy in the world, but when he got angry, watch out. An intense man in his mid-40s, Eduardo had always taken life seriously, working hard to build up a small grocery business and proud of the way he had been able to take care of his aging parents, his 3 children, and his disabled sister. Eduardo believed deeply in family and was genuinely glad that he could offer support to so many people. He was disturbed, though, by the way his anger could, as he put it, go from 0 to 60 without notice. "I've always had a short temper," he told me, "but lately it seems like the littlest things set me off. This morning, one of my boys spilled his juice. No big deal. He was already on the way to the sink for a sponge to mop it up. But before I knew it, I was yelling at the top of my voice how we should be more careful. I don't like being this way, but I can't seem to stop." Larissa was the office manager of a small company, a job she had held for the past 20 years. In her mid-50s, Larissa enjoyed her work, her family, and her hobbies, which included gardening and hiking with her family on the weekends. Larissa had always been calm and peaceful, one of those people others looked to for a sense of perspective. "I have trouble getting too excited about anything," she told me. "It's just not my nature." Lately, though, Larissa seemed almost too calm, to the point where she had trouble getting motivated or psyched about anything. "My husband suggested a family trip," she told me, "and I just couldn't find the energy to help him plan it. At work, it's the same thing. I just don't seem to care about solving the problems that are really my job to take on. It's as though everything has gotten a little dull, a little flat. Why is that?" Harriet, Eduardo, and Larissa were all running into both the upside and the downside of their dirty genes. Harriet had been born with a slow COMT, which filled her with buoyant energy and good spirits, but also made it very difficult for her to wind down. When the rest of her genes were clean and Harriet was giving her dirty gene the support it needed, she could end her work at a reasonable time and get to bed at a reasonable hour. Sometimes a single gene can have 2 different types of SNPs, one making it run too slowly, the other making it run too fast, each creating its own unique type of problem. COMT and MAOA are 2 genes of this type. But now Harriet was under a lot of extra stress from law school. She wasn't eating a healthy diet or exercising properly, so her body was under both physical and psychological stress. As a result, all her genes had become dirty, and her dirty gene was acting even dirtier than usual. Eduardo had been born with a dirty MTHFR. That genetic profile provided him with hard-driving determination and boatloads of motivation, but when his MTHFR got too dirty, Eduardo struggled with irritability and a hair-triggered temper. And like Harriet, Eduardo was undergoing some extra stress lately. His daughter was having a rocky first year in high school, which was hard on the whole family. In addition, Eduardo had just battled the flu for a week, which put his body under considerable stress. Between his physical infection and his psychological stress, Eduardo's genes were getting dirtier by the moment, so his dirty MTHFR was giving him much more trouble than usual. Larissa, in contrast to Harriet, had a fast COMT. In good times, this genetic profile gave her reservoirs of calm. But Larissa had been going through menopause, in her case, a huge physical and emotional stressor. Under those conditions, her clean jeans got dirty, and her dirty jean became even dirtier. As a result, her inborn calm began to shade into a lack of motivation and drive. Are you beginning to see a pattern? When you support your genes with the right diet, exercise, sleep, protection from chemicals, and stress relief, your born dirty genes are much more manageable. When your body and or mind undergoes stress, all your genes get dirty, and your born dirty genes start to give you trouble. The good news is that when you clean the dirt and gunk out of your system, you free up your genetic potential. That's why the Clean Gene Protocol works. It allows you to clean up all your dirty genes, and then spot clean the ones that need extra support. And if you maintain the Clean Genes Protocol as a lifelong approach to diet and lifestyle, you can keep your genes working at peak performance. The Super 7, a snapshot. MTHFR supports methylation, a crucial process that enables more than 200 of your body's vital functions, including genetic expression. COMT affects metabolism of dopamine, norepinephrine, and epinephrine, affecting your mood, energy level, ability to calm down, ability to sleep, and ability to focus. It also affects estrogen metabolism, which governs your body's estrogen levels and hormonal balance, affecting your experience of the menstrual cycle and menopause, and increasing your vulnerability to female cancers. DAO affects your body's response to histamine from food and bacteria, which in turn affects your vulnerability to allergy symptoms and food intolerance. MAOA affects your relationship to dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin, governing your mood, energy level, and ability to sleep, as well as sugar and carb cravings. GST-GPX enables detoxification, your body's ability to rid itself of harmful chemicals from the environment and to expel harmful biochemicals produced by your own body. NOS3 affects circulation, which helps determine your cardiovascular health and your vulnerability to heart attack, circulatory issues, and stroke. PEMT affects your cell walls, brain, and liver, determining a wide range of health issues including pregnancy problems, gallstones, fatty liver, digestive problems, SIBO, attention problems, and menopause. What dirty genes can teach you about yourself. For all three of the clients mentioned in this section, learning about their genetic profiles was exciting. As Harriet put it, "Suddenly the way I am makes sense." Indeed, there were solid biochemical reasons why Harriet had trouble winding down, why Eduardo's temper tended to flare, and why Larissa lacked motivation. These traits were the downsides that surfaced when their dirty genes didn't get the support they needed. For Harriet, a slow COMT meant that her body was slow to methylate both estrogen and dopamine. Estrogen is a female hormone that both men and women have. Like most biochemicals, we want the right amount, neither too little or too much. Harriet's genetic difficulty with methylating this particular hormone meant that high levels of estrogen tended to hang around in her body. The upside? Glowing skin. Good sexual function. Low estrogen frequently leads to vaginal dryness and atrophy or stiffness. And a smooth transition into menopause, which can be challenging precisely because of low estrogen levels. The downside, a tendency toward PMS, and a vulnerability to estrogen-related cancers, including ovarian cancer and some types of breast cancer. Harriet's slow COMT gene was also sluggish in methylating dopamine, the brain chemical associated with excitement, enthusiasm, and high-intensity energy. As a result, more dopamine remained in Harriet's system, keeping her energized and enthusiastic more intensely and for longer periods of time than would be typical of people with a clean COMT gene. When I tell you that dopamine is the biochemical involved in the thrill of a roller coaster ride or the excitement of winning a big contest, you can imagine the extra boost of enthusiasm that excess dopamine added to Harriet's personality. And when I tell you that dopamine is also the chemical induced by a cocaine high, you can see why Harriet had a natural reserve of energy, but also had a hard time winding down. Harriet had always worked in long bursts and then crashed afterward, feeling exhausted and burned out. I told her that, to some extent, this was a natural rhythm that she should embrace. As long as she ensured that her hard work was balanced by relaxation, she could make the most of her natural gifts. The danger, though, was that she might push herself too hard. In law school, Harriet had been working almost non-stop, sacrificing sleep and allowing herself very little downtime. As always, the key for Harriet was to support all her genes, both the ones that had been born dirty and the ones that had been born clean. They all needed the right diet, exercise, sleep, protection from toxins, and stress relief. Otherwise, Harriet's dirty COMT was likely to spin even further out of balance, and Harriet would become perpetually, rather than simply occasionally, exhausted and burned out. On the other hand, if we cleaned up all her genes, then her dirty COMT would be less burdened and could once again become an asset rather than a liability. Eduardo, too, was pleased to learn that his focus, determination, and temper weren't random, but rather part of his genetic inheritance. Eduardo's born dirty MTHFR gene meant that he faced special challenges methylating. Since good methylation relies on folate, Eduardo would have to load up on high folate foods, including leafy green vegetables, asparagus, broccoli, beans, peas, lentils, seeds, nuts, squash, and other vegetables. During stressful times, whether the stress was emotional or physical, Eduardo might even need to take some supplemental folate. That way he'd be able to maintain his determination and focus without becoming irritable. After Eduardo shared that both the flu and his daughter's hardships had created extra stress for his body and mind, I described for him how the stress challenged his fragile methylation, leaving him with less methylfolate than he needed. That lack of methylfolate meant that he could no longer quickly reduce his dopamine or norepinephrine levels. No wonder his temper was on a hair trigger and his anger felt hard to control. Like Harriet, Eduardo was glad to understand what was going on. I told him he could find new ways to cope with stress. Get enough sleep. Go for a run. Take a 15-minute quiet time to unwind. Supplemental methylfolate could also help him through the stressful times, as could being extra careful about his diet. After all, when he was stressed, his body needed all the methylation support it could get. It wasn't only Eduardo's temper that was at risk. SNPs in the MTHFR gene make a person more vulnerable to headaches, autoimmune disorders, and certain cancers. These were high stakes for Eduardo, but now he had the tools to manage his genetic profile. Larissa had the opposite profile from Harriet. Whereas Harriet's dirty COMT was slow, Larissa's dirty COMT was fast. Harriet's slow COMT kept dopamine and estrogen in her system longer than usual. Larissa's fast COMT got dopamine and estrogen out of her system faster than usual. As a result, Harriet's dopamine and estrogen levels were high, whereas Larissa's were low. Larissa's genetic profile had given her a calm, peaceful temperament, which she normally enjoyed. When she felt too calm, however, it was a sign that some of her genes were acting dirty and that her born dirty fast COMT wasn't getting the support it needed. In her early 50s, Larissa was beginning menopause, a time of hormonal shifts that for many women is very stressful. The stress led Larissa's dirty fast COMT to expel estrogen and dopamine from her system even more quickly than usual. Because of her unusually low levels of estrogen, Larissa struggled with menopause symptoms, hot flashes, insomnia, reduced sexual function. Because of her extra low levels of dopamine, she lacked motivation.